The work on the cross provided three things for us as believers. It provided three things. If you're taking notes, number one, the work on the cross provided a way of escape. Escape from sin, escape from judgment, escape from hell, fear. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." The Lord always provides that way of escape, and the cross is that way. The work on the cross also, number two, provided a way of access. Access. I like again what the author of Hebrews says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." There is access to the throne room. If you remember that movie, One Night with the King, it's about Esther, and she needs to go speak to her husband, the king, but she can't unless she's beckoned. She doesn't have access. And you know, we, the brides of Christ, have immediate access to the Father. Immediately. We come boldly, it says. Not arrogantly. Please don't misunderstand. Boldly meaning go. Go to Dad. How many children here can run to their dad and know their father's going to take care of them? And that's what the picture here is to come boldly to the throne that we may obtain mercy and find grace. And the third work of the cross provides a way of cleansing. Not only is there a way of escape, not only is there access, but there's that cleansing, that forgiveness, that purifying work. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And John writes in his epistle, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a lovely work it is that it was and will always be on the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he provided an escape route for me. He provided a way of access to the throne room, and he provided cleansing. And yet today we find so many folks come to the Lord, and they find peace in life, and they find grace, but because there's sin, because of fear, because of you fill in that blank, we find ourselves further back from the throne that we thought we'd ever be. It's not as shiny as it once was. We feel unable or afraid to come to the Lord, unworthy, unstable. I feel like a target when I come back to the Lord. I feel like the target from the church and from the enemy. And today we're going to look how God desires that way of escape, access, and cleansing to remove the fear, to remove that feeling of instability, and to remove shame even. And we're going to be looking at Numbers chapters 18 and 19, but I want to just set the scene again. If you remember in 17, we have that issue with Korah, the man who would reject Moses, and in so doing, he rejected God. And he caused 250 men to rise up and to say, "Hey, we can offer incense at the tabernacle just like you can, Aaron. We have censers, And so Moses says, okay, take your censers, fill them up, and go there. Tomorrow morning the Lord will make it known. And God said, Moses, step away from them because I'm going to consume everybody. And Moses says, Lord, because of one man's sin, are you really going to consume everybody? Kind of like Abraham's thing with Lot. I'm going to remove Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham says, not so, Lord. Are you going to judge the righteous with the wicked? And so the Lord tells Moses, okay, go and tell the people to step away from Korah, step away from those guys following him, because I'm going to judge them. And so he runs out there and tells people, get away from Korah, get away from his house, get away. And you remember the story. The earth opens up and eats him. And he's gone. It wasn't gone with the wind. It was gone in the ground. The earth opened up and consumed them. And then if that wasn't enough, those 250 men who were offering incense were consumed with fire. And their censers, which were, the Lord says, their worship was pure, and what they offered was pure, but it was their heart that was out of line. And so the censers are holy. And I want you to hammer them out and make a covering over the altar as a reminder for the children of Israel not to approach the altar like that. There is a way to approach the Lord that's not appealing to him. These 250 men said, we're going to do it our way. A Frank Sinatra scenario. And they went out in smoke. Sobering. Nadab and Abihu offering profane fire to the Lord up in smoke. And so there's an issue of worship that the Lord says, this is really sacred. This is important. This is holy. And yet what ended up happening is the last two verses, the children of Israel, when they watched Korah and those people get consumed in the ground, they watched these 250 people get burnt up, they all were afraid. Have you ever been afraid to approach God? These people were afraid. It says, so the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, surely we die. We perish. We all perish. Whoever comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Shall we all utterly die? They were freaked out. They were afraid. And you know, the word says that true love casts out fear. And you see, they had no way of escape. They knew they were guilty. Guilt keeps us from the Lord. Now, there's a difference between guilt and condemnation and conviction. See, guilt and condemnation always separates you from the Lord. And the enemy is the one that does that, because Romans says there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The Lord doesn't condemn you. So condemnation always separates you. It makes you feel unholy, unworthy, rejected, alone. But conviction does the opposite. Conviction draws you in. The word says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict us when we have sin. You know, sin merely means we missed the mark. We've been brought up in a generation that sin is that ugly, dirty thing. And it is. But anything that misses the mark. And the mark, perfection. Sadly, I missed the mark. And the Lord says, son, confess your sin, and I am faithful and just to forgive you. And he wants to draw a way of escape, because these people are afraid. These people don't want to approach God. Have you ever been in a scenario where you've sinned and you know, I mean, if you were a bystander, you'd step away from that guy because you knew a bolt of lightning was going to just hit that guy. And you're just afraid. Afraid to even approach, because you know that you chose it. Well, the Lord desires to provide a way of escape. And the way of escape is the way of the priesthood, of separation, and of submission. I encourage you guys to join me in Numbers chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And we're going to look at how the Lord draws a way of escape for these people. And he says, Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. You and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you and before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting for all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. And you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken from your brethren the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give you your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. You see, Aaron and his sons, the lineage of Aaron, although he is a Levite, Aaron's lineage is to be in the priests. It was his rod that budded. No one else's rod budded. If you remember, it not only budded with buds, but it had blossoms. And it had mature fruit. There were almonds on the branch. And that was the Lord saying, this is who I choose. And we see that the Lord chooses by the giving of fruit. The priesthood was given as a gift. Although it came with great responsibility, they were to serve with the concept that it was a gift. So they served in grace. Although they were to be the priests and no other lineage but Aaron's, they would remember it's a gift. And what is a gift? It's unearned. It's grace. It's undeserved. It wasn't a reward. It was a gift. And so the priests had great responsibility. It was a gift, and they needed to serve in grace. And the Levites were also a gift to the priests. They were to serve, yet they weren't to handle the furnishings of God. They were to submit to the priests. No one but the priests and the Levites were to serve the tabernacle. The outsider was to be put to death, whether it was a Levi handling the furnishings, or another tribe member approaching the tabernacle to minister, or a foreigner to come. Both the offender and the priest would die. And I had to think about, what are you telling us, Lord? And with responsibility comes authority. He says, I give you the responsibility, but I give you the authority to do that work. There's nothing like having responsibility, but yet rendered impotent to have any authority of the outcome. And God says, I'm giving you responsibility, but I'm giving you authority. You are the priesthood. And this is important because the priesthood is supposed to be a type of Christ. The way of escape is the priesthood. God provided the priesthood to serve the people by making atonement for their sins. You see, they wanted to run away because they were afraid. Wow, the Lord is powerful. He's mighty. I can't even approach him. But the way of escape is he made a priesthood that would make atonement. You remember how we spell atonement? At one meant. We have been made one with Christ, our high priest, at one meant. And I'm giving you a way of escape from that lifestyle. Come and be at one with Christ. Choose life today. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be like Korah. Don't approach the throne unworthily. The gift was fine, but the heart was wicked and it burned them up. How many times have you ever given things? Oh, it was a nice gift, but the heart inside was maybe bitter. Maybe it was given in a sense of, well, I got to give. You know, here at the Calvary Chapel, we say, you know, give with a great heart. You know, it's a get to, it's not a got to, really. We're not raising funds, we're raising families. And we teach our families that when we give to the Lord, we give gladly worship the Lord. And so the way of escape was the way of the priesthood, but it's also the way of separation. Just as the Lord separated the tribe of Aaron and then the family of Aaron and the tribe of the Levites, and he kind of made a separation from the general population. You know, although all of Israel was God's chosen people, only the Levites can draw near into the tabernacle to serve, but they couldn't touch any of the articles. So the Levites had a little extra access, and yet then we see that Aaron can all go all the way into the Holy of Holies. There's this way of separation, and God says, I've separated this to tell you to separate yourself from sin. Separate from that doing and from this doing. Once you commit to the Lord, you no longer have to do that anymore. Put that down. Walk holy unto the Lord. Separate. Verses 8 through 20 and 21 through 32 talks about how the Lord provides for the household of Aaron and the household of the Levites. And it says here, well, I guess we should read it. It's here. I crack myself up sometimes. Verse 8, the Lord spoke to Aaron. Here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings. All the holy gifts of the children of Israel I have given them as a portion to you and your sons, as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering, every sin offering, every trespass offering which they rendered to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you, and your sons and your daughters with you, as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine, and the grain, their first fruits which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things, you shall redeem them 1 month old according to your valuation for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire, for a sweet aroma to the Lord, and their flesh shall be yours, just as the wave breast and the right thigh are yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and to your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. See, there's a blessing not only for those who serve, but their household. You know, on Friday nights, Nikki brings her kids, and I say, have them come in, and they can eat with us if they want to. And she's like, oh, no, this is just for the youth group. And I say, there is a blessing for the household. You're serving. And there should be a blessing for those who serve. And you know what the interesting thing is in 1 Peter it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now you are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Lord declares in his new covenant that you guys are priests. Where is the tabernacle of God today? It's where? The temple of God is right here in your heart. And the Lord says, you know, if you're serving, your family should be blessed. Actually, Paul goes on to say that if there is a couple living married, a married couple, and one of them is not saved, it says because of the saved one, the children are clean. There is a blessing over the kids because of the parents. I praise the Lord for that. He knows what we need, and he provides. And he covers those households of those. And then we see 21 through 32. I'm not going to read that. You read that later on. It's the Levites, and they receive the tithes. And it's the same scenario. As Aaron receives all of the offerings, his priests, they receive all the offerings. They go to him. Levites receive all the tithes. As Israel would come and give the tenth of their increase, it went to the Levites. But do you know what the Levites were told to do? They were to take a tenth of their tithe and give it to Aaron. They too were to worship. And they too didn't inherit any land. As they entered the promised land, everyone but the Levites and Aaron, they all inherited property, but not the priests, not the Levites. God is their portion. Again, it's a picture of Christ. You see, God doesn't want his people to be earthly minded. You know, I look at the Old Testament and I see all these things that Israel got. Israel got, they entered the land and they got all the gold. They got the land. But the church, look at the blessings of the church in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. What do we see? Spiritual blessings, spiritual gifts, a spiritual residence. And we see that picture here. He says, I don't want the priests to inherit land because I am their portion. I am going to take care of them. And so for you guys, you priests, you New Testament priests, listen. I'm not saying you can't have a house. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't put your hope in your 401k. Don't put your hope in your bank account. Don't put hope in real estate. As investment purposes, that is. I know you need a place to live. The Lord knows that. And he provides for you. And, you know, some people do purchase real estate for investment. I was just joking with investment purposes. But our hope is in Christ. You know, the priests, the Levites, what did they get when Israel was in was worshiping false gods and false idols? How do you think their families did? Probably very poor, because people weren't coming to the temple and sacrificing to God. And so, interestingly enough, the Levites and the priests, they lived really by just what God gave them. Even when Israel was following the wrong direction, as few people would come to the Lord, it says he always had a remnant. He provides. I know there'll be times in your life you're like, Lord, man, there's just nothing coming in. He'll provide you a remnant. He will take care of you. And so I want to get back to this. The way of escape is not just a place. It's a person. It's Jesus. Now we're going to look at the way of access. I mean, sometimes I feel like I have nowhere to go. Sometimes I feel like, really, can I enter into the throne of grace? I mean, can I boldly come? In verse chapter 19, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord had commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar, the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting.'" The access we see is this red heifer. There is a way made for them. Now you have to think with me. How many years do they have to spend in the desert? 40 years. Until the whole generation, what happens to that whole generation that didn't want to go in? They do what? They die. But there's contamination when we touch things that are dead, isn't there? There are things in this world that we touch that it's dead. You remember Jesus in the upper room? He washed feet and Peter says, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And he goes, "Well, in that case, wash my head, my whole body, wash me." And the Lord's like, no, you're clean. But your feet, Peter, you stepped in something. And although you guys are saved, we walk out in this world and we're defiled. We walk in a fallen world, guys. And we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed. And so this red heifer here is a picture of Jesus. I mean, all the way here in Numbers, we see Jesus being preached through the picture of this red heifer. You see, red signifies the blood that was shed on Calvary. Again, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we see that this red heifer was without blemish. Not one hair can be other than red. If it was a black hair or a white hair, it was not made available. It wasn't pure. You see, Jesus, although was tempted in every point we are, he was sinless. He was perfect. The perfect sacrifice. And so this heifer, the blood, the without blemish. And the third thing was no yoke was laid upon it. This was a young animal. But no yoke. And you can circle that work because Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So many times I want to come to Jesus and I think, "Oh man, I got to quit doing this. I got to do that. I got to do this." That's not the Lord's plan. Someone said, "Lord, what work can we do the works of God?" And this is what Jesus said. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Believe. You want to do something that has strength? Have faith. You see, access is always based on faith. Without faith, we can't even please the Lord. They were to take the heifer outside of camp to kill it, just as Jesus was taken outside of the city to Golgotha. Taken outside the city to be killed on a hill. And then the heifer blood was taken by Eleazar, the priest, and he took it and he sprinkled it seven times in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Into that place where it's that holy of holies, the holy place. Access deals with that holy place. Because when Jesus died on that cross, Scripture said something incredible happened. The sky went dark. And the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was rent from the top to the bottom, and it provided access. No more just access for one man, but whosoever. I love that. Whosoever. Is any man thirsty? Whosoever come to him. And that veil was rent from top to bottom as if God himself went, "Come on in. Come on in. Dine at my table." The bread and the wine was there. Come in. Access. But again, I need to remind you that access is always based on faith. Access to the Father comes through Christ, his death, his life. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus would say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the access. Jesus is the way of escape. Jesus is the access. Just as each one of you are priests, New Testament believing priests, each one of you has access by faith to the throne room. You have access. I mean, one thing as a dad, I always want to make myself available to my kids. I want to make myself approachable. I want them to come to me with any problem that comes out. I want to be there when Becca Jane is playing with matches and catches her bedroom on fire. And I want to be so close in our relationship that she can come to me and says, Dad, I blew it. There's a fire in my room. I lit it with matches. Versus hiding it and walking away as if nothing happened and running. What's going to happen to my home? It's going to be gone. If I don't develop that relationship that I am approachable, then when those real big issues come, Dad, there's this guy. Dad, these kids have got this stuff at school. Dad, they're teaching this stuff I don't understand. I need to have a sense of, they need to have a sense of access to me. And the Father gives you the same access to him. He is so available. He is so wanting just to talk. Pull up a chair, son, let's talk. What's on your heart? I think sometimes the Lord doesn't answer right away, just that we come back again. Because so many times we don't come to the Lord unless we need something. Unless there is a dire emergency and he's, I can say, oh yeah, man, that is serious. I tell you what, it's been such a good time talking, son. Let's do it again tomorrow. We'll hold that thought. I got it covered. Come again tomorrow. Access, a sense of approachability. You see, that was wrong with the entire tribe of Israel. They couldn't approach God. They saw Korah, they saw the fire, and God was no longer approachable. And God said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I want you to come talk to me. Worship. Have fellowship with me. And he provided the priesthood to be that way of escape of sin. And he deals with it, and there's atonement. And there's access to the throne room. But the third thing that he gave was cleansing. Gosh, I hate feeling dirty. I hate seeing something and just knowing my mind's dirty. I saw that. Oh. The way of cleansing is 3 points. The water of the word, the Spirit of God, and by confession. Verses 5 through 10 of chapter 19 says, then the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take a cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then the man who is clean shall gather up the ashes. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of Israel, for the water of purification. It is for purifying sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. You see, provision was made for being in contact with death. They're going to be wandering, and a whole generation is going to die. because they didn't go in, a whole generation was going to die. And the Lord says, you know what? You're going to touch it. You're going to touch stuff. And I'm going to give you a way to be cleansed. Verse 11 through 17. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he shall be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day, and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. This uncleanliness is still on him. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin, and running water, literally it's living water, shall be put on them in a vessel. So the Lord says, you know, people are going to come in contact with death. It just happens. You're out in the wilderness. Remember the difference between desert and wilderness? The Hebrew concept, desert is like dessert. There's going to be some trees and some bushes, but wilderness is dry and barren. And so they spent 40 years in the wilderness. It was horrible. And they're going to come in contact with death. And today we are Christians. The wages of sin is what? It's death. We're going to come in contact with death. Like Peter, we're going to step in things and we'll be defiled. And so they took the ashes of this heifer, and they took some of the living water or running water, and they mixed the two. And this water speaks of the water of the Word. God has given us His Son. He's given us His Word to wash us. Ephesians 5:6. I like what David says in Psalms. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Dave, you don't know the things that I've seen. I've seen some pretty nasty stuff. There's things in my mind that just kill me. Can I tell you that Christ bled from his head to purify your mind? Dave, I've turned my back on the Lord. I've walked away. Can I tell you that Christ was beaten with a flagellum and his back was laid open and he bled and he was beaten beyond description, the word says. I've done things with these hands that are, you can't forgive the things that I've done, you might say. Well, you see, his hands were pierced that you would be freed. Oh, I'm all balled up inside. I've said things. I hurt. I have pain in here that you can't even deal with. You see, a spear was cast into his side and it punctured his heart. He literally died of a broken heart, the word says, as blood and water flowed. Dave, I've gone places where no one ought to go. Again, his feet were pierced for our transgressions. That cleansing water would wash away your guilt, your shame, your fear, your sin, my sin. The way of cleansing is the water of the Word, the blood of the Lamb, but it's the Spirit of God. Over and over again it says a clean person was to apply the water with hyssop. Verse 18. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent and on the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched a bone, a slain, the dead body, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and at evening he shall be clean. You see, the Spirit of God is working in that clean person. He is morally, spiritually clean. What do you mean, Dave? God uses people to work with people. God could have just had that man be clean, or he could have washed himself. But no, he had someone else come, a clean person. In Galatians it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You see, God desires that a clean person go and apply with hyssop. Not douse them. I mean, how many times have you seen somebody, you just want to throw the word on them? Dude, you are in so much sin. No. It's not what it says. A clean person to take the hyssop and to gently apply the word, allowing the Spirit to not condemn, but maybe to lightly convict his heart, because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And God uses people to bring in people. He's a clean person. Don't go to a bartender to talk about your problems, okay? Really. Dr. Phil, Oprah, call your pastor. Call your sister in the Lord. Call an elder. Call a believer who's walking in the Word, that they would give you, they would pray with you and cry with you, or allow them to work in your life. Don't, so many times when things happen, what am I going to do? I don't know, you better get an inquirer. The hot sheets, they'll tell us what to do. No. Allow the Lord's word to penetrate and allow someone to come in. So many times when we sin, what do? We pull away, don't we? I'm not going to go to church because they're going to know. I don't want anyone to apply anything on me. Hyssop or no hyssop. I always leave beaten. The Lord says, no, allow that person to do that. The third part of cleansing is confession. Oh, the big C word. You see, John says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that cleansing flow. Lord, Dad, I did it and I'm sorry. You're forgiven, son. Come here. You're forgiven. It doesn't stop there. You see, the Lord had inspired James to write these words. He says, confess your trespass one to another. Just as the Lord uses other person to dip the hyssop, the water on me, I in turn say, oh, brother, I need you to come and pray with me. Why? Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you have a broken heart? Allow the Lord to move your heart to call a clean person, a believer, one who is walking with the Lord. Let them touch your life. Get into the Word. Allow the water of the Word to cleanse you. Be reminded that you have access right to the throne room. Are you dealing with fear or anxiety? God has already provided a way of escape for you. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. You know, the Lord desired Israel to come. And he had to deal with some things, and sometimes that's scary, I know. But, you know, he did it for grace. And he separated out the wicked, and he preserved his people and said, come to me. I've provided atonement for you. Come to me. I've provided access. I've torn the veil that you can come right into the Holy of Holies. Come to me and be clean, to be cleansed. Allow your mind to be free. I love Romans where it says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect will of God, which is your reasonable act of worship. You want to worship the Lord? Present your body a living sacrifice to Him. Lord, I'm yours. I know I'm not perfect, but I am perfectly given to you. Allow Him to cleanse you and allow Him to use you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a refreshing thing. Spending time in the desert can be quite thirsty and dry. Spending time in the wilderness can be lonely. Enter in. Enter in. They were in the wilderness because they didn't have the courage to step in to the promised land. Can I encourage you guys to step in? Last Sunday we were praying for those that wanted to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Today I want to just encourage you guys to keep stepping in. It might seem like you don't know what's going on, but we walk by faith. Not by sight, we walk by faith. Keep moving forward, gang. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what a wonderful way that your word cleanses us. As we look at Numbers 18 and 19, and we look at how you provide for the household of Aaron, the household of the Levites, how you bring a way of escape for the people, and you allow them to flee from their own fear and provide atonement. And you provide not only atonement, but access, spiritual access. And finally, you cleanse us. I love that song. Living, you love me. Dying, you saved me. Buried, you carried my sin far away. And rising, you justified. Lord, I am so blessed that you didn't stay in the grave. Freely, forever. And one day, you're coming again. And Lord, between then and now, I pray you continue to work in our lives. Allow us to be cleansed. And in turn, use us to help others. To be that light, that city on a hill. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.